Hello, everybody, and welcome to our office hours call for your own individual health concerns here. And it's September 2018. Crazy that it's already September. So this is a call where you can come, regardless of which program, whether you're in our ERC year-long program, our inner circle, or if you're in any of our shorter programs, our body balance program, the grand, the sweet spot, any of those programs, this is a place to come to get your questions answered and to get support. So I'm very excited to have you here. I know we have a lot of new members that just joined us for the ERC Inner Circle, and I've been getting to meet you throughout the week on the Getting to Know You calls, and I'm excited to see some of your familiar names here on the call. These are not video calls. These are more audio calls, and it's mainly to facilitate larger groups of people. But the way that they work is if you have a question and you're on the phone, you could go ahead and do a star two. Star two raises your hand, and you can ask any question, get any clarification, report a success, anything at all that you want. Now, if you are a practitioner and you're on here and you're from one of our practitioner programs rather than like insulin resistance or digestive mastery or NEPT, you are welcome to be on here. But the questions that you ask need to be limited to your own health. This is where we get the doctor heal thyself concept going, where you get to take care of you. I don't want to hear my patient has this, my mom has that. This is more just about you getting into really heavy duty self-care for yourself. And if you did any questions in advance, I like to check those first. And there is one. And then, so, you know, you're able to submit questions in advance. Usually the email will have a link and you can put them in there. So I usually like to do those first, so if people who are listening later don't have to figure out when in the call I actually answered their questions. You're welcome to put questions in as we're on the line. Like if somebody says something and you want clarification or you have spawns a question of your own, then go ahead and put it in either the Q&A or the chat. If it's something you want me to respond to, I would recommend that you put it in the chat, the Q&A, because sometimes the chat gets very busy with back and forth between people sharing experiences and sharing links, et cetera. So I'll see it more likely, especially if there's a large group on the call. All right, so I have one question there, so I'm going to just start with that. Carolyn from Stony Point, I've been waiting for someone to read my lab work and review my journal. I'm supposed to do something else. Okay, so this brings up another good comment from me. So here's the thing. If you ask a question, if you put the question in or you ask it on the phone, please let me know what program you're in. Because, Caroline, I don't know what program you're in, and reading lab work and reviewing journals, that's an ERC thing. And I don't recognize your name from ERC. We don't read the lab work and review journals for other programs. Maybe you're in body balance. So I don't know which program you're in and what to tell you. Okay? So, the reviewing your journal actually is if you're in one of the programs like Thyroid or CAFE, there are weekly journals and you can submit them after every, you don't have to do it weekly, but you can do it after every module that you do and ask questions there. And if that's not happening, if that's what you're referring to, then Lynn, that's something you need to make a note of and make sure that the person that we have assigned to doing that is actually able to continue to do that. So please check on that and check on Caroline. You can look in the chat and see and follow up with that. All right. And if you are waiting for somebody to read lab work, I don't know what that means. Like, did you submit it somewhere? Usually lab work is not something we do behind the scenes. That's what these calls are for. So if you have, like, you're in the adrenal program and you've gotten an adrenal test done and you want us to look at it, you need to come on the call and we can handle it here. Okay. Yeah, so that's the best I can do there. So call in. Who's here? Raise your hand, star two. And we have from Have a Straw, New York, Elliot. Elliot? Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Hi. Yes.
Hi, this is actually Caroline, the one you were reading off the lab work, I guess.
All right, wonderful. Great. What program are you in, Caroline?
I'm in the thyroid program.
Okay. So where did you submit your lab, and what do you mean by journal? So tell me what you're telling me.
So just a regular journal, yeah. I've just submitted, like, my Upli, and I haven't heard anything back from that yet. I did that
a couple of weeks. Yeah, Lynn, you need to check on that to make sure that we're receiving them, and also to make sure that the person that's assigned is actually doing it, not off on vacation and didn't tell us, or something like that. As far as the labs, so you did it through the uploader?
Yeah, I uploaded it. I got all the results back.
Okay. So did you fill it out in one of those thyroid forms that I gave?
Yeah, I just uploaded my results that I got from the actual lab.
All right. So good thing. I think in the program we explained it, but I'm not sure. I'd have to go back and look. I know when we were running it live, we did. We have a form that's called the Thyroid Lab Tracker. And it takes out just those numbers and puts it in there. Which is the better way to do it, because then it's concentrated and focused. So what I'm going to do is, if you can look in the email in the mock form and see if you see Caroline's thyroid lab, and I can look at thyroid labs pretty easily. But Lynn, if you go ahead and look for that for me, and then I will go ahead. What I'll do, Caroline, is I'll wait for Lynn to look for that so I can go on to the next question, and then we'll go back and look at it. Okay?
Okay. Yep.
Yes, yep. And she'll check in on the other, on the journal. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
All right. So, Cell Phone Toronto, that would be probably Mary.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, hey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. I'm echoing in the back for some reason. It's because I have, I don't have the webcast on, but I have the chat live. Does that make a difference? The Q&A live chat? No, it shouldn't, right?
You're on the phone, so whatever. Yeah, the chat will just let you chat back and forth, and then the Q&A lets you click from there. They're both, if you click to the web. If you're just on the phone, you won't see any of them.
Okay, no problem. All right, I have a quick question. So I was, as you know, I've broken a bone from our last weekend thing there, so I'm on the mend here. But I was thinking, I wanted your thoughts in Dr. Pompa is doing that 5-day fast, I guess, coming up again in September. Mm-hmm. Considering maybe doing it, I don't know if it's a good idea. That I think you said that last time, maybe not a great idea, because it was sort of still in the initial phases of the broken bone kind of thing.
Was it like 3 or 4 weeks ago?
When I broke the ankle was July 1st it happened.
Okay, so it's been 2 months. And how's it healing? Yeah. Healing well?
It's going okay. I mean, inflammation by the end of the day, swelling by the end of the day. Sometimes if I'm on my foot quite a bit, it gets a little bit more swollen than it should, I guess. If it's not elevated, or if, basically my foot is down, like if I'm sitting and the foot is down, then it'll tends to swell a little bit more than normal. So the swelling is still there, and the muscle or the tissue around the ankle is still a little tender, or whatever the case is. But for the most part, the swelling has,
There's still a really super tender spot where the bone is broken.
Yeah, actually, on one side it is. Yeah, just on the other side, I think most of it has to do with just the soft tissue around it, because it actually was a pretty bad sprain. So it's kind of sprained both ways, and then I guess the way that they explained it to me is that it sprained such that it pulled the bone.
Oh, wow.
Right? So it's an aviator kind of sprain.
Yeah. Okay. Right? So I would say, when is he doing that fast? Is it coming up in a couple of weeks?
It starts on the 23rd.
Okay, good. So here's what I would recommend. That's going to be far enough out. Really helpful. But what I would do is really shore up on your nutrition before that by upping your green smoothies and doing it.
Upping my greens?
Smoothies, your hemp seeds. The nutrients, like good protein, good amounts of protein, adding the extra hemp seeds and stuff like that.
Yeah.
To make sure that you're going into it really well nourished.
Right. Okay.
And then I think it could be really good. Because there's so much healing that happens.
What's that?
There is so much healing that happens during the fast.
During the fast.
So many people who go in it with serious musculoskeletal stuff, and it gets helped.
Okay. That was sort of like my thought. Okay. Yeah. All right. That the other thought was, you know, his pre-plan is not my pre-plan. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't do pre-plan.
You know what I mean? So I'm like, okay, yeah. I got to figure out different. But what's my pre-plan? Because I know he goes through the whole keto thing, and I can't get a Keto Mojo in Canada. Like, they will not ship to Canada as well. And I really want one. I know. So
you will have your post office box in the U.S.
I do. I haven't gone that route because it's not always economical to do that. But my plan was for this silly accident was because I had the summer off, I was just going to just go across the border and just send it to like a P.O. box kind of thing. And it's my right foot, so I can't drive myself anywhere. So that plan sort of threw that because I had a bunch of stuff that I wanted to order from the States so that I could just do it all in one order, go there, pick it up, and come back, right? Because Buffalo really from Toronto is only like an hour and a half. That's not a problem to drive across. And so that didn't happen because I can't drive still, and I still can't drive. So that was a bit of an issue.
Bummer.
Yeah, so I would have liked to have, like, a Keto Mojo at least before going into it so I can tell whether I'm on, you know, ketosis or not, even though I'm very low.
Do they sell that one there, Decision Extra?
What's it called?
Decision Extra.
Decision Extra?
Precision, like precise.
Oh, precision. Precision Extra. Okay, I'll check it out and see. It's another keto one?
It's another keto. The reason I, you know, I have both, and I switched to the Keto Mojo because the strips are so expensive, but the meter itself is not that expensive. So if you were to buy it and, you know, use the strips for a little while, and then you finally were able to get the Keto Mojo, you could switch, and it's not a big loss of money. You'd save enough in the first 2 weeks of testing that it would make the difference.
Right. Okay. All right.
And as far as his prep, I didn't even pay attention to his prep, but I know he's a meter. He's a meat eater, and more into that, you know, kind of carnivorous keto. I find it, you know, you want to get into keto, so I would maybe do some a green juice thing for the day before and then go into it, right? So go from eating just really good and solid and then maybe a day of green smoothies only, a day of juice, and then go into water. And then you will speed up your ketosis.
Right, exactly. And then, obviously, his exit out of it is definitely not what.
His exit out of it, I thought it was bizarre, because the first meal
it was
going on had beans in it. It was, like, way too complicated to eat after a five-day fast. So I looked at that, and it had sweet potatoes and black beans and all kinds of stuff. And I'm like, what? No.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was a bit heavy, too, especially after 5 days.
You know,
what's that?
Blended. Just,
so you would just transition the same way you transitioned into it, right? So.
Yeah, and it's not that long a fast that you have to be super careful, but I usually introduce one or two foods that are low glycemic, and you get very full. I usually introduce avocado on the first day.
Oh, you do?
Mm-hmm.
You can?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a high.
As long as avocado isn't something that you have trouble with, but it's easy to digest fat.
Really?
Yeah,
oh, I just assume no fat at all. Like as soon as the day after you come off.
No. You can go into fat. I wouldn't go into carbs, but I would go into fat.
Oh, okay. Good to know. Oh, okay. Perfect. Do I have time for another quick question?
One quick question, and then I will go back to Carolyn because I got her labs. Go for it.
Oh, you got her labs. Oh, okay. It was actually a question about a lab, and I just wanted to know the gamma glutamyl transversae, GGT.
GGT.
It says it's low, and mine says it's low, but I'm not really quite sure what that's all about. Like, I go into it's low one time, and it's not another time. Like,
generally, GGT is better low because it can be a sign of liver toxicity, but the high is alcoholism and toxic exposure, so it's a heavy-duty stress on the liver. When it's low, then it could be a B6 deficiency because it is a B6-dependent enzyme. It depends on how low, like 6, 8, 10?
It's, I don't know if we're the same, but it's the reference range is from 12 to 37, and I'm between an 8 and a 9.
Slightly. So, you know, just keep up with your it could be B6. It's not anything to worry about, but if it's a sign, if it's a functional sign that your B6 is low, you definitely would want to address that.
Okay. Okay. If I have another question, I'll just put my
hand up. Yeah, just put your hand up again, and then I'll open Carolyn again, and I got her labs.
Perfect.
So,
great. Thanks, Dr. Reed.
Appreciate it. Sure. All right. So, Carolyn, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. So I've got your labs. Now, let me give you a little history. Are you on any thyroid medication?
No. I'm 31. I've been vegan since I was four or five. And I'm gluten-free probably for the last, like, maybe 4 years, but, like, extra strict gluten-free in the past, like, 5 months-ish. And just recently in the past couple weeks, or maybe, like, the past week, got off grains, so I'm just trying to figure this whole thing out.
And symptoms are classic low thyroid, low energy.
Yeah, like all of a sudden, you know, I was a college athlete and everything. You know, I think I had a really bad case of mono when I was 24, and they couldn't diagnose. They didn't know what it was, so they just loaded me up with loads of medication, and my gut, I think, has never been the same. That's why I went gluten-free. So I think I kind of still feel some of the symptoms of, like, mono and what, that virus-y kind of feel. And then, like, kind of the end of June, I would wake up, my eyes puffy, like, puffy for no reason, just that achiness, all those kind of things that you say on the PowerPoints.
Right.
I did start taking Dr. Clement, you know Brian Clement?
Yeah.
Yeah, his thyroid vitamin thing. I don't know exactly what it's called. I started taking that, and then my numbers went up, so I don't know if that's making it worse, so I'm trying to get balanced all over. So.
Okay. Yeah, we'd want to know what's in his thing. If it's got some iodine in it, it could be the iodine because you've got a very high antibody level.
Yeah.
So it's autoimmune. It's greater than 900. A little bit of background, which we teach in the TRT program where you're in. But autoimmune usually occurs with a storm of three areas. One is a genetic tendency. But a genetic tendency alone is not going to give you it. It's some other factors. A stress or a viral load, okay? The mono, right?
Right.
And the stress could also, it could be a viral, it could be heavy metals, it could be an emotional stress, you know, loss in your life or whatever. But then the leaky gut. You can't address the genes. You have to address those others, right? So I would say, you know, sounds like your gut got a mess from the viral load. So the one led to the rest. So we need to look at healing your gut. So healing leaky gut. And in the thyroid, I don't remember which module. How far into the program have you gotten and how much of it have you been putting into practice?
I did the blood work. I did the temperature test. I just did the journal part, and that's it. I've just been waiting for somebody
part. Great. Okay.
Yeah, so I'm just waiting for somebody to get back to me to figure out what to do because I'm getting swollen.
All right, go through the program because it's all in there. It will take through. Yeah, like what do you do if it's autoimmune and there's some herbs and there's some foods, but you have to heal the leaky gut. Absolutely have to heal your leaky gut. That's a biggie. Okay?
Right. Okay.
Address that. Start with things like, you know, first of all, it just starts really easily. You got to chew your food. You got to get relaxed before you eat. The whole appreciation thing. We teach that early on in there. And then looking at digestive enzymes, making sure you're taking some digestive enzymes to reduce some of that load. Looking at probiotic containing foods, right? You may want to, I would start with the basics. And then if you're not seeing improvement, and then go to maybe a stool test to see what's going on in there, or a gut permeability test. If you got to heal the leaky gut, that's a biggie. Okay? And that's
the
other program that we have. Usually we have people go through the program. If the person doesn't come in with a major, I have a thyroid problem, start right out, they will have them go through the programs in order. And if you go to module 5 of the program, there's you can cut ahead, but then go backwards. How's that? Module 5, there's a video called Thyroid Balancing Step by Step. There's a document in there that's like a 30-page document that goes through all the different kinds of thyroid dysfunction. You got a paper there? Because I want to tell you the thyroid dysfunctions that I'm seeing here.
Yep.
Okay. Number one, autoimmune.
Okay. I also have the MTHFR gene,
okay.
Homozygous. So the C7,
okay.
Yeah, C7, that one.
Yeah, so your B vitamins are probably off, your folate is off. And when you, let me just go through this and then we'll touch on
okay.
A couple of things, okay?
Okay.
So your TSH is through the roof. Your T3, he didn't even circle that, but that's low too. He circled that the, he didn't even circle the, oh, he didn't circle them, they just looked flagged that your TSH super high, classic hypo. The T4 is low, below the ideal range, even below the reference range. The T4 is low, even below their range. So they're super, super low. Your T3 is actually low as well, but I don't think there's a conversion issue because your T4 is so low that you would expect that to be that low. In the, one of the charts in there is the, rind. It's like a little chart that you put your stuff in. It looks almost like a spreadsheet and you put your levels in and it helps you to see which, if there's a conversion issue. I don't think there is based on this number. It basically has you line up your TSH, your free T4 and your free T3 on a chart. And it's in, I think it's in the assessments module. And if you know exactly where it is, you can tell me. But you want to line that up and see if there's also a conversion issue. So you want to work on the, there's two things you want to work on in there. One is the resistance, thyroid resistance, because
okay.
We want to assume that you have thyroid resistance with all this going on. And number two, the autoimmune. And in that
okay.
thing, it will tell you the step-by-step what you need to do to get it balanced. And I just
okay.
go through the modules, right? Go through the modules.
Okay.
And just apply everything. Look at your toxic load, anything in your environment. Look at sources of bromine in the diet. You might want to get an iodine load test.
Okay.
See if your iodine is low also, but seriously, it's addressing the autoimmune.
Okay.
The heart math that we teach in there, absolutely need to do that because that mental emotional stress needs to come down because you're going to shoot out a lot of cortisol if you're stressed and if you're worried about this.
What is it called? The heart something?
Heart math. Yeah, we teach that right away at the very beginning
okay.
of the program. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, oh, and that transforming stress, is that part of that? I don't remember if it is, but we teach you how to do that.
Okay.
So I would go step by step by step by step through it. But focus on the autoimmune.
And then which is the particular part that you were looking for?
There's a that rind thyroid scale diagram. Rind, rind.
Oh, that's in... That should be in, I'm just looking it up here.
Oh, yeah.
The first part.
The assessments part?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. And what were your temperatures?
Like in the morning, it's like 96, and it goes like between 95 and 96.
Yeah, really low. So what did your doctor say about these numbers?
He, like, originally was... Just like, well, first my TPO was like 500, and he's like, well, just watch it. Sometimes it jumps here and there and stuff like that. He wasn't really concerned until I found your program, and then I submitted. I was like, I need all this blood work done, and he got it done. He's like, oh, okay, we have a problem.
Oh, my.
So
you had a 500 on TPO, and he ignored it?
Yeah, he was just like, well, you know, it could go lower, fluctuate, it may take a long time, yeah.
Oh, Lordy.
Clear indication,
yeah.
He has no idea what, he has no idea.
That's very disturbing.
No.
That's very, I mean, I've seen it where they say, oh, it's 50, ignore it. I don't ignore it at 50. The way I look at it is, how many bullets do you want shooting your thyroid?
Yeah,
I want zero,
no.
Thank you, or as close to zero as possible. And even 50 would be bad, but if he said ignore it at 500, oh.
Yeah.
There's a lot of misinformation about there. Oh.
And then he saw this, and then he said, oh, we might need to go on medication. I was like, well, I'm not going to, so I'm going to figure something else out.
All right. So I'm going to say there is a product. I mean, there's a number of products. I hate to just throw products, but I would like to see this TSH come down, and it could take a while. Oh, you got to look at your blood sugar, too. So you said you went off grains. You're off.
I do have a thing. Yeah, I have the pricker thing. So that it's not that high, but.
Yeah, just watch it at the peaks, like 45 minutes to an hour after you eat. That would be
okay.
Where I'm looking. Because, you know, if you take it in the morning, that doesn't mean a thing.
Right, okay.
Okay, and I've seen people reverse their Hashimoto's if they had for way longer than you've been alive, honey, for 50 years. After just 4 months of getting
wow, okay.
the balance and doing all the stuff that we teach you in this program. So I would
Yeah, no, I'm like willing to change. I'll do anything. I just been trying to figure out exactly what to do.
Oh, absolutely. And this came on suddenly. I would say that the EBD, you may have you gotten any titers? Gotten any EBD?
No,
titers?
Like I haven't done any of this stuff. This is the first like load.
Okay, so here's something. This may seem off the cuff, but the protocol in the medical medium for EBV is really good.
Okay.
Okay, the medical medium.
Minus eating all the fruit.
Minus the fruit. Don't listen to them on the fruit. But the protocol, the herbal protocol and the celery juice and some of that stuff, some of his stuff in there for heavy metal, you know, all of that stuff is good. Yeah, but just don't do, he goes crazy on fruit. It's just.
So who is this guy? Who is it again?
Medical medium.
Anthony Williams.
Yeah, I've got the. We've got the chart.
Yeah, he's got some good herbs and
got some good herbs listed in protocols.
Catcon, jewel weed, and everything.
I would say is look at starting your day with like about 8 to 16 ounces of celery juice, just plain pure celery juice.
Okay.
All right. You want to look at helping support like viral load, and I would get a titer. I think it would be a good thing to do. So supporting viral load. What does that mean? Well, antiviral type foods and herbs. So good antivirals, garlic, all the sulfur type of stuff, but garlic and onion are super good. Isatis, Coptis. These are herbs that you could, you know, get a tincture of and just start to, just to support your body's ability and rotate them. Don't get in the habit of just taking one supplement for antiviral or antibacterial, anything like that, because your body will, the bugs will get used to it.
Okay.
So it's like a week of Isatis, a week of Coptis, a week of, you know, garlic capsules or garlic, you know, tons of garlic in your food. And then just
okay.
rotate those through.
And that's okay. Should I go like, sorry, what'd you say?
I was just going to say, you have some documents in your program that talk about the herbs that are good for you. And
yeah, I would just go through step by step, module by module, and do everything it says in there.
Okay. I just want, if there's anything I can, like, jumpstart it real quick.
That's what I was thinking, jumpstarting. You know, maybe some antiviral stuff. Definitely stay off the gluten and the grains.
Right. So all grains, all gluten. Should I go mostly raw or?
You can, but just watch that the cruciferous, you know, watch the raw cruciferous that you don't do too much of it because it's possible that it would stimulate. Stuff of soy.
You have a recipe collection.
Yeah.
In your program. That
oh yes, there's a recipe collection, and then there's also menu like suggested menus, and there's a lot of herbal suggestions, and there's. Hey, based on your labs, what's showing up, here's some of the protocols for each thing. So just go through it.
Okay, and then avoid fruit totally, or?
I would test your blood sugar with it. So get the blood sugar meter, start testing it, like eat a meal, test it every 15 minutes until it peaks and then starts to come down, then you can stop testing it every 15 minutes. And then if any foods that raise your sugar above 110, stop eating them for a while.
Okay.
You want to keep your blood sugar nice and steady.
Okay.
Okay. Or, you know, there's a whole bunch of important, there's one chart that absolutely is, amazing. And I don't remember which module it is, forgive me, but it's a chart that says, here's your labs, you look at them, you map your labs out on there. I mean, this program is designed to help you through step by step. You map them out on there and then it has a bunch of herbs on the next page, like for the different kinds of conditions. We know your Hashimoto's. You know your, I don't like to say the diagnosis, but we know that there's an autoimmune process going on here. I'm also concerned about ferritin level being low, but I'd want to see your iron before you do anything. That's the other thing that most doctors...
I think her iron is on there.
Is it on the next page?
Yeah, uh-huh. It's on there. It was 6. The ferritin was 6, and it went up to 10. Like, iron, like, actual pills were bothering my stomach, even though I was getting, like, non-constipating vegan ones.
Yeah.
But I found one that works, so I take it, like, every other day. I know it's probably not enough, but at least I can tolerate it.
Why am I not seeing the iron?
It was actually, on the same page as your...
Ferritin? Oh, yeah, there's iron. All right, iron. Iron and iron binding caveolin. Total iron, 99. Not terrible. Ferritin is low. So, yeah, you've got an iron deficiency that definitely needs to be addressed in order for Hashimoto's, to help autoimmunity. Your MCV is 96. Your B12 needs to be addressed as well. And it could be, is that 86 or 96? It's hard to read on this. No, it's 80. It's 86. It's okay. Never mind. It's okay. Because everything else.
And Dr. Ryan's thyroid scale is in part 2. If you look at the slides, the link for that is on the slide.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. For some reason, I can't get to the program. I can't get to the next module or something. Is there? Do I have to
Module? You just have to check off that you did everything in the first module, and then it'll bump you to the second.
Okay. Should I try? I'll try it again. But for some reason, I thought I couldn't. Okay.
Okay.
Let
Lynn know if you can't. She'll check. She can log in as you and see what the problem is.
Okay.
Okay.
I heard from the person with the journal, and she's checking tonight. And so also in BERT 2 is that transforming stress system. So you can sign up for that as well. And it goes over that whole heart math process.
Yeah. Yeah, get her. Make sure we get her before the end of the day, that we get her opened up for whatever it takes. Are you on the old site or the new? I don't know when you signed up. Are you in the Unstoppable Health site?
She just signed up. She signed up like the beginning of August, I think it was.
Okay. And is it on the Unstoppable Health site or is it on the Vibrant Living?
As far as I know, she's on Unstoppable Health.
Okay. Well, the email that you, the address that you use to access the site, is it www.unstoppablehealth.com/community.com, or is it vibrantlivingmembers.com?
I think it's the thyroid one. I think I'd have to go back and look at the computer.
Yeah.
Check her welcome email to see what she
That's what I'm doing.
Make sure it gets moved over, and make sure she gets moved over to the new site, because she'd be able to do that. Okay, so you're on the right track. I'm so glad that you're here. I'm very sad that you had not gotten the right advice from your labs. I'm very disappointed by that. It needs to be addressed. And medication, what could this medication do for an autoimmune condition? It doesn't do
anything. I know. Well, he was concerned more about the thyroid, and I was like, but the antibodies is the problem.
The antibodies are the problem, right?
Right.
It's not like your thyroid is like out of the blue saying, oh, I don't want to work anymore, right?
Right.
I mean, there could be other confounding issues. There could be an iodine deficiency, which is why there's a test called the iodine load, and we talk about it in one of the presentations. You can get that through Hakala Labs, Hakala. You know, if you're exposed to bromine in any way, you know, if you sit in a hot tub that's got it, if you eat bread or had been eating bread before you went gluten-free, you get a lot of bromine. And if you have bromine toxicity, I see that a lot.
Okay. I just started taking zinc yesterday.
Okay.
Zinc
is good, the B vitamins, it goes through everything. It'll take
okay.
Especially that chart. But I would post in the, look at the supplement you're taking and post in the ingredients. Because you said you were taking the Hippocrates one or the Clement one.
Yeah.
Look in there, post the ingredients, because you said it got worse after taking that, and I would want to see why.
So yeah, it was like my TPO was probably like 400 something, and then it just like jumped. Yeah. I think it got worse.
So I wanted, you might have iodine overload, in which case.
Okay.
With Hashimoto, with the autoimmune, you do not want to take iodine. So that might be that it has iodine in it. In which case,
okay.
away from iodine.
I logged in as you, and you still have item number 3, where you tracked your temperature for 3 days.
Okay, I didn't click off on that.
Check it off for her. Just click it off for her then.
Okay.
Yeah, and you should have it now immediately. It should open right away.
Yep. You've successfully...
Yeah, we're just trying to make it so that everybody does everything in a module before opening it up, because sometimes people just skip around and then they don't get results and they wonder why.
Got it. Okay.
Okay? Thank you, Caroline.
All right. Thank you.
Sure. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, Maya, and then Mary again, and let me look in the Q&A to see if anybody else put questions in. Refresh. Okay, let me read a couple of questions, and then I'll go to you, Maya.
I put in your Skype labs from Christy, who's in the CAFE program.
So she did an adrenal test?
Yep.
Okay, cool. So Jeannie wants to know if I have a go-through green smoothie that I do on most days or I change it. So my husband makes my smoothies. So here's the deal. He makes like 3 half gallons a day each time he makes it. So I have for 3 whole straight days, I'll have the same one. And he makes it very similar. We vary the greens. But it's a whole bunch of greens and cucumber and celery and parsley and cilantro and ginger and turmeric. And actually, if you want that recipe for it, that's what I do pretty much most of the days. But we vary the greens and the herbs. In the hormone hacking breakfast menus that you can get, it's on the ERC site and it's under the foundations, the Body Freedom Foundations diet pillar. There's one page, I think there's a page that says breakfast, or it either says breakfast or it's a section called meals. And on there, you'll find that book. And that's, his recipe is in there. It's so good. I just finished mine today. I don't make them anywhere near as good as him because I don't have the patience, but he makes them taste really, really good. Cindy in the Body Balance, great, and have uploaded my health tracker with my lab results in preparation for my first coaching call. Great. Low homocysteine, I understand this will impact my glutathione production, yes. Can you comment whether supplementing with liposomal glutathione or NAC is preferred to support? That's a good question, like which one to do, and that's the question of the day in a lot of places. Found out recently they have a homozygous PEMT variant. PEMT has to do with your phospholipids. So a couple of things I would say, the PEMT, and you're going to have your consultation with Lynn as soon as you get that set up, so that's great. The PEMT, I'm just going to jump to that one because that's an easier one to address right now, is phospholipids. And one of the things I find super helpful for people with PEMT variants is to use sunflower lecithin and put them in your smoothies or soups or salad dressings, and you can get it in flakes. A lot of good organic sources now on Amazon. Used to be hard to get. Raw Food World has one, and I forget the name of the company, the other one I got. So that's a good one. So as far as the liposomal glutathione or NAC, NAC, I always like to give the precursors and let the body make it, but without seeing the exact genetics in that pathway, it's hard to say. Your homocysteine is low, which could be that you're, you know, low homocysteine, and I, you know, I don't know what those numbers are. Low homocysteine makes me a little concerned about giving the liposomal glutathione, and I'll tell you why. It could be that you're low because your CBS enzyme there is actually overactive and it's bringing a lot more the homocysteine going down the pathway and getting converted into the sulfur, and I don't want to overdose you. So I would start with NAC. That's what I would do. I would start with NAC. I would start with a small dose. I think they usually come in 300 to 600 milligram capsules. I'd just start with one a day and then work your way up to three a day. 3 times 600 is usually what I work people up to. But here's the thing. If you start to get feelings like detox feelings, like, you know, achiness in your muscles and other things like that, then you're going to need to back off because it may be pushing the detox too fast. So that's what I would do, and maybe do a month or two of that. And then you could try the liposomal. I think NAC is a lot more economical as well. But I would say probably do that and then go get a homocysteine level again and see what it is. Did you say you were MTHFR? Yeah, I don't know. No, that was Caroline that said she had MTHFR.
Yeah,
so without knowing your genetics, it's hard to exactly say. But, yeah, and Lynn will go over the whole tracker with you on that first coaching call.
Yeah, okay? We're actually talking tomorrow.
Oh, beautiful. Great. Super. If you have any questions about it, Lynn will run them by me. Yep. Eva, I'm working with a client in the last 3 months. Okay, this is a client question. And so I'm going to ask you to defer your client question to our NEPT call. That would be a better place for that. Let me see if it's real quick. Eats well, no gluten, besides the full thyroid. Yeah, so I would refer that there because this is really more for us, for everybody doing their own health. And if you have questions about your own health. No more there. And come back here. Now I'll go to Maya, and then we'll go to Mary and whoever else is here. So, Maya.
Hi.
Hi.
So glad you got feedback of how wonderful it is that we have your brilliance instead of a lot of the practitioners out there who don't really get it. So, anyway. My question is, it's probably too soon, if you and Lynn have figured out where you're going to put that conversion tracker in Excel that I can get. Did you decide if you're going to post to the Facebook with a link or to?
We can do both. What I need to do, I haven't had a, you know, because we get off the phone last
night. I figured.
9 o'clock and I've been going ever since today. So I will look at that tonight and I can pop a link up on the Facebook group. I just have to make sure the location is in a place that everybody can actually access. So I'm going to put it in more of a, I have to make sure the protections are right on it. And I will put it in the Facebook group and then we'll figure out where on the site that we can put it. Okay.
Okay.
I can always email it to you if, you know, whatever. But yeah, that's haven't had a chance.
Yeah, I just thought it would be good.
Because I want you to start using it right away, and you can't use it until I give it to you.
Right. I mean, and I do post it into my FitnessPal and stuff, but this way it'll be much better. And then speaking of that, I have a question about what to do about meter variances. Like I just pulled up a photograph I did because I got the you know, I've had a ketone meter for a long time, but then I ordered the Keto Mojo and got it late July. And so, but it, you know, I was trying to figure out how they all compare. Because I, like, for example, I took the same blood drop and, you know, prepped all 3 meters, stuck them all in at the same time and do a blood drop and got 70-point differences.
What?
Like I have a one. Yeah, I have I have a photograph. You can see it. It's like the Keto Mojo said 181. The True Matrix was 210. And the Keto, the Nova Max, which is also a keto meter, is 252. So, you know. That's
well, it's hard to differentiate. I don't like the Keto, the metrics at all. I had the same thing when I tested the metrics. I did I did 5 in a row on each meter, and then I did like same thing. I'd have it right before my meal. I'd do 10 meters, and then I did like 15 minutes later, I did 10 meters, and that didn't even make the cut. I didn't like it at all.
So you're talking about the one that replaced the true results.
Yeah, I know. It's not good.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't like it at all. And then the other one never heard of, the other one you mentioned.
Yeah, the other one is a blood and ketone meter that I got a couple of years ago.
Nova Max more than the others because the Keto Mojo, just for example, one of our members, Jay, he went to the doctor's office and got his blood drawn, did his Keto Mojo before he went in, did it right after, got the blood draw, and wanted to see how they compared, and they were almost identical.
Okay. Well, that's good. So then maybe it hasn't been as bad as I've been thinking, because that's like, you know, the one I've been going by is 70 points higher. So,
oh man, you know, another,
I mean, it's still bad.
Yeah, because the strips for the Keto Mojo are a little more expensive than some of the others. The one that I've been using, somebody in the program recommended, I got it and I tested it, and it passed with flying colors. The basically the consistency that every, if you tested it five times in a row, you know, right away, it was the mm-hmm. same. And then mm-hmm. It's the Rely On Prime, and you can get the meter for like, I don't know, 15, 19 bucks at, or maybe even less at Walmart. And then the little, the
how much of a strip?
Like 50 for $9.99.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Right?
Check so, that, as if I don't already have enough meters. Oh, gosh. But, all right, so then you want me to just only use 1 meter and track 1 meter?
I would
meter?
Stick to 1 meter. Just stick to the one because it gets too okay. confusing. And I will say this, and I'll be posting some of my findings, you know, when I publish my book. But I've been doing my continuous meter, and I find that there's a lot of stuff that makes it variable. Right. So mm-hmm. if you are testing and comparing a meter, you have to do what you did, either use the same drop of blood or just, you know, right after each other, you know, different figures.
Mm-hmm.
Because it varies. Mm-hmm. Like I got up this morning, my blood sugar was like 59 or something. And I got mm-hmm. up and then I got on a call where there was a lot of like, I don't know, activity and,
mm-hmm.
and doing a lot of stuff. And I tested it was 73. I'm like, oh. And then I just breathed a little bit and calmed down. And now it's been staying steady in the 60s all day long. So
mm-hmm.
what was the meter?
The meter?
That you're talking about? Yeah. What was
the meter
name?
About? The Prime? The
Rely
On Prime. Okay.
But that's not the continuous one, though.
That's not the continuous. No, I've been doing it on my...
No,
but
no.
Even on the continuous, you could see that there's variation. There, like, you know, the body's always self-correcting, so there's a little bit of a variation.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, and
okay.
How many times a day do you want me to track?
I for the glucose, I would want to see all the foods and get your peak, right, and see how much
right,
they.
Right, but obviously.
But
yeah,
for
I mean,
the ketones,
like, I'm not eating much and eating, you know, once a day, maximum.
Maybe 1 meal a day, then I would test right before it. We test your fasting,
mm-hmm.
test right before
mm-hmm.
it. Test every 15 minutes until you've gotten it coming down.
Usually an hour and a half, so.
That peaks at an hour and a half or comes back down in an hour and a half?
No, peaks at an hour and a half.
Okay, well then, you know, just do a, you know, a couple of meals where you track it all the way through just to verify that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then
that's
maybe it.
I think my thyroid's better. Maybe it'll be a little earlier. I don't know.
Okay, it might be. And then Mark, track, like, how when is your peak, but also track what foods, like how much do the foods raise it? Like keep a chart
mm-hmm.
of whatever food you're eating and how much it raises it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It doesn't have to be the exact number because it's variable for you, but how much does it raise it is the important part. And then we can come up
mm-hmm.
with what do you need to be doing to minimize the glycemic stress.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
I'm not going to tell you don't eat anything that makes it go more than 30 points because then you're not eating anything again, right? So your rules are different
yeah.
a little bit, right?
Yeah.
You're a little bit in a different
yeah.
rule state. But I want to see what those numbers are. Just
right.
put it in a spreadsheet. Even when I send you this spreadsheet to do, put it in another tab in there that's just a list of all your foods and what's your peak glucose afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Great.
And then you'll have some numbers to go on, okay?
Yeah. Usually, like when I post in my Fitness Pal, then in the notes section, I put my weight and my blood sugar numbers and stuff. So
that's good, but it's not tabbed.
Yeah, no, this will be
right?
easier.
Yeah, this will make it so that you can look at trends, and that's really what we want to look at is trends.
Great.
Okay.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
I like the idea. I mean, I may add a tab to it just before you can get it, and just have a list of foods. Yeah. We'll see. I'll think about it. I'm thinking about how the best way to track that would be and maybe put a tab in. Okay?
Yeah, and I can just start my own spreadsheet at home, you know.
Yeah, just start listing the foods and listing the peaks. And with the ketones, I'd try just at least for 3, 4, 5 days to do it morning and night. Or not morning and night, whatever. Play around with it and see when your when your highest ketone levels turn out to be, if there's a consistency with it. So you may want to do it times a day for a couple of days just to get a sense of it.
Even during my long fast?
Well, during your fast, it's going to be consistent. No, when I'm fasting, I just do it once a day.
Okay.
But if you figure out when your highest is, you want to see what your highest is, it's fine. I just randomly do it. I think when I'm fasting, I usually do it at night.
Okay.
Okay?
Great.
All right.
Thank you.
Let me look to see if any other questions were posted. Lynn will tell me if there's questions in the chat, and you can read them to me. If there's any I miss, and I'll go to the Q&A. Okay, Sandy, what do I know about vitiligo? White spots on legs, right? It's an autoimmune, yes. Is it from the sun? How to heal? I'll get on the phone if you want. So, Sandy, yes, it's autoimmune. I don't know that it's from the sun. How to heal is usually to go inside and, you know, the food allergy, all the stuff we do for autoimmunity. So if you want to get on the phone, you're certainly welcome to just get on and raise your hand. But I don't think it's from the sun. No, I think it's an autoimmune thing. Lynn may have a couple of things to say.
Yeah, because my daughter has vitiligo. There's also a real adrenal gland component. So, definitely autoimmune, but also look at stress. My daughter is a born worrier, and as we've learned to help her cope and handle stress, obviously that's going to affect your stomach acid and how you break food down and how it shows up on your skin. She's got some spots on her neck. She has them on her belly. When I was first realizing this was happening to her, I found a very strong adrenal fatigue, stress, anxiety component to it. So,
yeah, great. Awesome. Yeah, those are all.
And there's particular genetics as well, obviously, but.
Yeah. Yeah, there's usually a genetic component. I don't know of any herbs or particular supplements other than dealing with the
I was going to say, for us, again, that stress component is the strongest thing. And just, you know, that autoimmune, anti-inflammatory food plan, that's what's going to help more than anything. Good fats. Movement, she obviously has down because she does competitive dance. But it's really learning to be aware of your stress and handling it that way.
Doing it, right. I would say also to look in, I think you were at the Spring into Vitality last year, and I think one of the handouts in there, and you're in ERC, Sandy, so you have access to all the old Spring into Vitalities. But last year, the handout section, and there's one handout that's my autoimmune diet, like phase one diet to look at, and it talks about elimination and how to then go about and add things back. So you might want to look at that. Okay. Okie dokie. Let me go back here. Cindy, here it is. Cindy from Body Balance has another question. My GI doc suspects I may have celiac disease since I currently avoid all grains, dairy, nightshades, and nuts to avoid symptoms. Can you comment on the test you would recommend? She recommended a blood test, transglutaminase for antibodies, H. pylori because stomach cancer is in the family, also says endoscopy, but eat gluten for 6 weeks. No, that's crazy. Stupid. Okay. Crazy stupid. So one of the tests that's non-invasive, first of all, I'd say assume it is and you don't even need to be tested. But if you really want to know, I would say there's a test, through, EnteroLab, EnteroLab.com. And you can get that test done, a stool test for gluten antibodies. And you can also get others like dairy and several things. And they tend to be elevated even if you haven't eaten it, right? Even if you haven't eaten it. So somebody who tells somebody who they suspect has celiac to eat gluten for 6 weeks is like telling them to, you know, slit their wrists, in my opinion, in my humble opinion. I think that's a dumb thing to do. In my humble opinion, everybody has a right to their own opinion. So I would suggest you do the, if you really want to know, do the EnteroLab test. But even better, do a genetic test for $99 or $199, whatever you can get, the 23andMe test, and you can run it through the metabolic healing filter, and it'll tell you if you have gluten, if you have gluten tendencies. If you have gluten tendencies, just avoid the bloody stuff. That's all there is to do to it, right? And then heal the gut. And if you've had it, if you used to eat gluten and you don't anymore, then you want to heal your gut. And if she has you go back on gluten for 6 weeks, that's at least 6 months of inflammation in your body as a result of her wanting a test. I think that's dumb. Sorry. I just do. So that one, there's another one. I feel like all the others that are blood tests require you to have eaten the gluten recently. So the two that you can do are the EnteroLab stool test and the, and actually if you go to EnteroLab, you don't have to do the whole 23andMe panel. You just pay a little bit more and they'll test you for the antibody, not the antibodies. They'll test you for the gluten, genes. So you might want to do that. EnteroLab.com. Okay. Oof, I'm sorry. These kind of things get me very riled up. All right. So we'll go back to the questions, and I think Mary had a couple more, and I see a couple of others here. So let me put Maya down, and then Mary, and then Sandy. All right, Mary.
Hi, I'm back. Okay, it's so nice listening to people talk and going through things, and then other questions come up. So, you're surprised that I would have only had one question, right, Dr.
Mary? No, it's like Mary, I only have a whole bunch.
Okay, really quickly, these are all pretty much quick questions anyways. Okay, I actually got a tested, you know, because you brought up the medical meeting guy. So anyways, I got tested for the Epstein-Barr. I don't know if I mentioned this before, and I did test actually as a positive. At some point, I had Epstein-Barr.
Okay.
So kind of like freaked me out a little bit.
Yeah.
How do I get rid of it?
Yeah. So I would get that medical medium book, and I really like the chapter they have on the whole EBD.
Epstein-Barr.
Yeah, and I would just do the low glycemic version of diet stuff. He's very good at, you know, recommending whole fresh foods, lots of raw stuff. It's really great, but he's a real big pusher of lots and lots of fruit and eating. And the other thing he pushes, which I think is dumb, I'm sorry, but every 2 hours of eating, like eat freaking.
I know. After, like, I've got a couple of his books. Now, I don't know which book you're referring to. Are you referring to his very first book? Because that's the only book I haven't read.
Yeah, very first one has a really great whole bunch of good stuff on EBD.
That's the only one that I
recommend reading it. But then again, modify his diet recommendations to the herbs are great, the celery juice is great, whole fresh food, but the low glycemic and space your meals to keep your insulin levels where they should be.
Okay, all right, all right, that's good to know. Yeah, this whole 2 hour thing, I don't know. I mean, I think also. Yeah, it was a few things in that and all the fruit that he also recommends. I thought was a little bit completely opposite to what we've been doing with ERC and so forth, right? So, okay. Quick question. Again, just a quick question just reminded me with fasting. So with the water fasting, I go on the water fasting. That's like no supplement at all I'm taking, like no supplements that 5 days, like nothing that has to do. I'm taking some herbal signatures for, you know, adrenal support.
Yeah, it's not going to hurt you for 5 days to go without them. And in fact, rotating off supplements is fine. Now, if you go off supplements and you suddenly find that some symptoms are occurring that you feel like we're really being addressed with the supplements, then by all means, you can, you can go back. I mean, if somebody has severe stuff going on, right, or antidepressants mm-hmm. and they're on supplements to keep them from being suicidal, I would say keep doing your supplements, right?
Right,
so,
of course.
But it's like, say you go off and you suddenly say, I'm getting leg cramps. Go back on your
magnesium.
Well, just put little drops in some water and drink it.
Yeah.
I would prefer not to say, if you're going to take supplements, I prefer not to take alcohol-based or cellulose capsules.
Oh.
Right? Because those become a digestive thing. Whereas
when you're on the water. When you're on the water fast.
When you're on the water fast. But if you're on like, if you take like an ionic magnesium that's just in a water base, it's not going to, it's not going to throw you off. It's not going to make your body think you just suddenly started eating.
Okay. All right. That's good. I mean, I don't think 5 days is a big deal without supplementation either. I don't think I'm to the point where it's, you know, dire straits if I don't take any supplementation for 5 days, but then I don't know that either because I've not ever done a water fast more than a day, more than like 36 hours really, you know. So this will be my very first like extended water fast for that many days.
Yeah.
I'm actually looking forward to it only because it's been so difficult for me to go shopping. I can't walk around very well.
You're gonna love
it. It's a break.
It's so great. I love it.
Yeah. And just having to just not have to prep in the kitchen and on one foot is just, I'm just going to just enjoy the not having to do any of it.
Just relax.
And just relaxing.
Relax and breathe. And if there's sunshine up there this time of year, go out in the sun and get your vitamin D dose. And don't push yourself to be at the gym lifting weights. Just nice and easy. Just let your body fully relax. And
And the last really quick question I wanted to kind of address, and then the next thing is not a question, but a comment of something that I've kind of just saw online, which I thought was kind of interesting. I thought maybe I could get your perspective on. But my first really quick question has to do with sunshine. So here I am. It's summer in Toronto, and I have been trying my best to get out a little bit more with real vitamin D instead of just taking it orally all the time. So I've got, quite a nice tan in the legs and the arms and the cases. And so I, did a lot of that between June and July. And so I did my blood work. And my vitamin D actually went down from July.
And you continued to take your supplements or did you stop your supplements?
No. I've been religious with taking vitamin D. No, I've been consistent with that. And maybe it's not bizarre now that I think about it because my test was done. I'm just looking at the two dates that I actually done. Maybe it's not bizarre. So my first, the test on July 14th, the reading was at 126. I'm not sure how that converts in yours, but.
Probably 75 or something.
It's kind of still in the low range, but whatever. And then on August the 10th, my number went down to 105, but the funny thing is, so I broke my ankle July 1st. I wasn't outside at all.
Yeah.
But that small little time that I wasn't outside from July 1st.
Well, you weren't outside, but you were also going into bone repair and using vitamin D to stimulate calcium absorption to help you repair your bones. You had more need for vitamin D.
Well, I'm trying to get it back up again because it was slowly going up, and I was so happy. And then I'm like, shoot. And then I thought, well, maybe because I wasn't outside. I wasn't outside at all because, I was in a cast that I couldn't remove, and I didn't want like a farmer's tan. So, so that's part of it. Although that was really probably no excuse, but and then just being busy going to therapy and not really having the time to sit down and actually sit and have some sun rays, right? So,
And the need for vitamin D goes up when you have a growth being repaired. So
that totally makes sense. Didn't even think of that, right?
Okay. All right. So I'm going to go on. There's two more questions and I don't want to run out of time for them.
Yep.
So we can put you back. Just put your hand back up and if I have time after that,
I'll
come back to you. Okay?
No problem.
Thanks.
Thank you.
All right, Sandy, I'm opening you up. Let's see. There's a delay on my computer. Ah, I think I can hear you. You there?
Hello.
Hello, Sandy.
I was pressing numbers and it wasn't coming on, but you did answer my call. I mean, you did answer the question.
Okay.
About that. This is, I don't know how new it is, but something I just really saw that was happening on my skin. And
is
yes,
it all over your body or just particular areas?
It's mostly the legs, and there are some on my arms. There's a lot of freckles, you know, dark spots and mold.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking at my belly. I saw one or two.
You're enjoying your belly, too.
So, you know,
but
I
you know when it started. That's it, you know, like at what point.
Right. Could be a few weeks ago or so. I mean, I was thinking the dermatologist, I'm sure, would say the sun. She just says everything age or sun. You know, it's your old or it's the sun.
Yeah, but you know, like, oh, you need to come from the sun. You get the opposite from the sun. Unless you had, like, I get a lot of white spots on my legs from scars from mosquito bites that I scratched too hard, and I get little white spots, and it looks kind of vitiligo-ish almost, but it's particularly where I have those things. You want to think in terms of exposures, you want to think in terms of shifts, changes, did you travel, did you get exposed to mold?
Exposures. Yeah.
Yeah. Stress could be there. Bring it on. Like physiologic
could
stress.
Be that.
Like, yeah.
I am a worrier and I am very stressed out right now. And I am going crazy with this energy, this out planetary energy, and I'm trying to do the best I can, but I know, you know, that I am.
Okay, how many times
do you I do heart math, I just do all kinds of things, and trying to take more time out from working. Part of it's, you know, working too much.
Mm-hmm.
So, and definitely having adrenal stress right now, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely, so.
I visit some of the stuff you did when you were doing the cafe, and you did increase your energy. I go back and
yeah.
There's a physical assessment. You remember in there, and you can do like your blood
pressure. Oh,
yeah. Like go back and see where you're at with that. Even if you don't want to, screen for going and doing the test again, I think it would be a good thing to do. It's just revisit. What was I doing during that adrenal program that I'm not doing now that I could reinstate?
Yeah, right. Well, I don't want to put more on because I still have one big project I'm working on, and I want to get that done. And it's just too much of everything.
that sounds like.
I want less stuff so I can, you know, have more time for fun and playing with food and being in nature.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, whatever this project is, maybe reevaluate. I don't know what the project is or how important it is, but reevaluate.
Yes, it's important.
You're putting on yourself.
It's important, but I just do a little a day, and you know, it'll get there. It'll get there.
Yeah, and
it'll get there.
Okay, good. All right.
I just have to be patient.
Yeah, you know, I can't. I'd love to see your genes to see if you've got all the worrier genes. I have a feeling you do.
I probably do.
You know, just really addressing that. Like, oh, there I go again. Breathe. Okay, there I go again. And it's habit. It's changing habits, and old habits die hard. So.
Well, I'm doing a lot better of when I wake up in the morning that I'm not thinking of the to-do list and everything I have to do.
That's good.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm
yeah, yeah.
I'm doing better.
Good.
So,
all right.
Thank you.
We'll be working together. We'll talk to you soon. Bye bye.
No. Okay. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. So Nancy Scott. I can't tell when it's opening because is it open? I don't want to hear.
Hello.
It. Oh, there you go. Good.
All
great.
Right.
Hi. Yeah.
Hi. Yeah, well, last week I did 3 days of fasting, and then I checked my ketones, the ketones, and I was at a 2.1.
Nice.
And so I went off my fast on Friday, so it's almost a week. And I've checked ketones a couple of times. You know, the very next day it was like 1.3. And now when I've checked, it's always been like 0.2 or 0.3.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering how you stay in ketosis and satisfied. And, you know, I'm just kind of beside myself. Like, I looked up how many carbs, even a lemon has 3 carbs, you know, and it's like, I just don't know how to do this.
Yeah, I don't count carbs. And I don't know what you ate when you got, came off of it. So what I usually do is I keep careful track. So if I'm testing ketones while I'm fasting, I want to test after every meal to see what the effect is on my glucose and my meals. I personally, what works for me is huge amounts of vegetables with lots of plant-based whole food fats. So I will, like, I'll make a huge salad with, and I don't think about carbs. I just think about, I'm not putting any higher carb foods in it, but I'll put on some avocado. I'll put on some hemp seeds. I'll make a dressing with, I don't know, I made one dressing that was super good. That was just tahini and ginger and turmeric and curry and lemon juice. And I just pour it over there and eat. It's satisfying and it's filling. And then I would test to see what that does to your sugars. And I know what you did when you started eating again. Did you start to eat slowly, gradually, or did you just jump right back into your meals?
I jump back into the meals, actually.
Yeah, and I think you need to go slowly and figure out the same way we do it with the glucose. You do it and you figure out other specific foods that take you out. For me, fruit takes, it doesn't take me out completely because I'm pretty far in, but it doesn't allow me to stay as deep. I might go down to 0.7 or 0.9. And then.
Yeah, well, I haven't had any fruit other than lemon and lime.
Okay, so that's fine. And are you doing any grain?
No, I'm doing no grains, no, like beans or any of that.
Are you cooking the veggies or eating them raw?
Both.
Okay.
You know.
Try experimenting with that with the proportion because, like, for me, the higher carb, like if I eat cooked cauliflower, it's going to raise my sugar. If I eat it raw, nothing. So play around with that. And I find, and I don't know what was happening and I don't know why, but when I was on a trip, and they went and I just had their salad and their guacamole, but I put some of their salad dressing on, shot my sugars up and my ketones down. So I would be more scientific about it as you transition from the fasting. You didn't get so deep into the fasting where you got up to 6 or 7, which could happen at, say, 5 days. I find it around 5 days. That's when, you know, for me, I get in there quickly. I'm a fast keto adapter. Not everybody is. But I can get up to, I can get to like 7 within the by the third day.
Wow.
Yeah. But
yeah,
it's, and
I was only
0.1
on the third day.
It's giving your body the permission. I mean, there are some people, I remember, I think it was Pompa who was writing about his wife having taken like 4 weeks or 2 months before she could get into ketosis. So.
Wow.
It's really a matter of and the repeat and then playing with it and tracking it and figuring out what keeps you there. Amount of food you eat makes a huge difference, too. I find if I overeat, not good.
Yeah. Well, I, you know, if I overdo it, it's probably on nuts. And I know that, like, cashews are really high.
There's a lot of carbs.
So I stay away from cashews, but, you know, Brazil nuts and walnuts and almonds and, you know, hemp and all of those. But, wow, I was disappointed that I wasn't able to stay at least 0.5.
Yeah, yeah, you can see that.
But you just, I would say, do another 3-day fast and then go slowly with adding the food back and just really monitoring.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And by slowly, tell me a little bit more of how to do that.
Well, I wouldn't, I just described a salad that was like so complicated and tons of different stuff. I would just do simple. I always do avocado on my first day back after a fast. Somebody said before, Mary said before, huh? That seems
right.
Counterintuitive. But I always do it because it's like, I'm going to be hungry and I need something that's going to satisfy my taste buds, but also satisfy my, my caloric need. So I will usually, the first day after a fast, I don't eat until late in the day. So it's almost like I extend the fast another half, three quarters of a day. So I won't eat until 4 or 5 o'clock. And then just make something simple. I don't remember what I did last time. I think it was like 2-3 ingredients. I can't remember what exactly. I could probably go back to my chart because I have really good charts of what those were. But simple, like 2-3 ingredient meals.
Okay. All right,
don't get discouraged by it, Nancy. Some people just, that's the way they are. It takes repeat and repeat and repeat to get there.
Okay.
Okay?
Appreciate it. Thanks.
Sure.
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right, we're in.
I just want to give Nancy some, it takes me forever to get into ketosis, like you said, months. And that's when I'm really, really diligent at it. So part of that's my genetics, which lends me to having a non-alcoholic fatty liver. And so I have to be really careful with my fats. But, you know, that's why working with you gives me such great comfort, because your repeated emphasis that my body is different than yours, and mm-hmm. yours is different from Nancy's, and all this other, it's just, this is my body. And my body is just, this is how it expresses itself. It's not wrong. It's just
wrong.
This
and we
is
have to be kind to it and patient to, with it. That's the thing. I hear it in your voice, Nancy. I hear it in Sandy's voice, like that, like, what's wrong with my, you know, that kind of thing, like you're frustrated with it and you're mad at it. And just like, oh, I haven't figured out yet what my little inner healer really needs right now. And let me just, you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's just really being patient and kind with ourselves that makes a huge difference as well, because it takes away some of that stress.
Okay.
Okay?
Well, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. All right, guys, thank you so much for being here. I'm going to open up the lines.
Can I ask you one real question? What's the DNA site that you mentioned for checking gluten sensitivity?
So it was enterolab.com.
Okay.
And they do
put that one on.
Dual test, and then they also, if you want to do the, I don't know if it's a cheek swab or if it's a blood, but they'll give you the gluten genes as well. It's for an extra. It's a little extra to get that, but it's a nice thing because you can just do. Any of the tests that are blood tests, if you haven't eaten gluten in a while, like I haven't eaten gluten in forever. I probably got cross-contaminated a couple of times over the last several years, but I haven't eaten it in a long time, and I would show up as fine on a blood test most likely. But the stool test, because it tests the IgA antibodies in that line the mucous membranes. And so they may not be active in the blood, but they're hanging out in the mucous membrane going, oh, just wait, if that gluten comes along, I'm going to attack it. So you can pick it up in the stool. And that's why I believe that test is, it's my favorite.
Okay.
It picks up more cases than anything else, and it's less invasive, and it's only $99. And then it might be another $50 to get the genes done.
Well, and I think it's good for you to emphasize again that if you are not consuming gluten, if you do a test, like even the wheat zoomer or something, it's not going to show anything. It's going to show that you're not sensitive, more than likely, because you're not consuming it.
Because you're not consuming it, and the antibodies are no longer active in the bloodstream. But they are there hanging out in the gut, waiting.
Exactly.
Just waiting.
Well, and especially if you have that genetic test.
Have you had that genetic? So I know one of my colleagues, you guys may have heard of him, Peter Osborne. He and I were having a discussion one day, and he said he didn't even bother with the test. He just tests their genes. He doesn't even bother with the antibody testing anymore because he knows how it can be tricky and it can fool you. He just tests them for the genes, and if they have the genes, it's like, sorry, you can't eat this. You have symptoms, you have genes, you can't eat gluten. So
yep.
I like that idea. Me personally, I've never tested it, but I know from experience that I have a problem with it, and I have the genes, so why test it? Why bother wasting my money? I'm just not going to eat it.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thank you so, so much. Let's say goodbye to each other. I think I unmuted. No, I didn't. Here. Interactive.
Dr. Rita Marie?
Yes?
You mentioned 23andMe, and then there was a metabolic something for interpretation.
Yeah, metabolic healing. That wasn't available. So important. It was done. So it's worth looking at. Metabolic healing, you just upload the raw data, and it has a really nice report, like 49 pages of breaking
okay.
it down by symptoms.
So metabolic healing. Okay, great.
Yeah. Thank
okay.
you. Right. Yes, you're welcome.
Thanks.
Bye, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.
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 Bye.